Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Planning Commission meeting. Welcome, planning staff and other members of the county staff and planning commissioners. I would ask you please to all unmute your microphones, and Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Yes, thank you. Good morning. Commissioner Shaw?
Here.
Commissioner Viacana?
Here.
Commissioner Moultari?
Here.
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
And Chair Simpson-Spearman?
Here. Will you please stand and join me in the flag salute?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And now I will call for public comment for matters that are not listed in the agenda, please. Public comment for matters not listed in the agenda.
Madam Clerk. Public speakers have been submitted. Oh. No requests.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Then I will close public comment. Moving on to planning staff updates. Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you please provide the Planning Commission with any updates or anything that would be pertinent from the most recent Board of Supervisors meeting, please?
Absolutely. Good morning. Exandria Fowler representing the Planning and Building Department. I'm going to start off with some updates of recent Board of Supervisors actions that pertain to your commission. On Tuesday, February 28th, the Board of Supervisors reappointed Chair Christina Simpson-Spearman to serve as the District 3 representative to the Planning Commission. Additionally, the Board of Supervisors adopted a resolution authorizing the California Coastal Commission to process a consolidated coastal development permit for the City of Pismo Beach for the Central Coast Blue Project. The Board also approved contracts for on-call planning and environmental consultant services for the next 5 years so that Planning and Building Department staff can utilize the special services of qualified consultants to help expedite the preparation of environmental and planning documents, such as environmental impact reports, negative declarations, technical studies, mitigation monitoring plans, general plan amendments, and land use and subdivision reports. On March 21st, the Board of Supervisors will receive the quarterly update on the PG&E Diablo Canyon Power Plant decommissioning project permitting, as well as the status of the environmental impact report that is being prepared for that project. Regarding your upcoming meetings, your meeting on March 23rd has a completely full agenda, so I anticipate that it will be a full day for you. Here are the items that are tentatively scheduled. There's a request for a variance, a minor use permit, and a coastal development permit to allow for grading on slopes over 30% and the construction of an approximately 2,000 square foot single family residence located at 2831 Alamo Drive in the community of Los Osos. There is a request for a conditional use permit for the construction of an approximately 5,400 square foot single family residence with an 1,100 square foot ADU and approximately 5,800 square feet of additional accessory structures, and that project is located at 4455 Almond Drive in the community of Templeton. There's a request for a conditional use permit to allow for the phased expansion and remodel of a winery facility and tasting room, and additionally to allow for a second tasting room for distilled spirits, and that project's located at 3380 Branch Road, approximately 2.3 miles south of the city of Paso Robles. There's a request for a third and final time extension to a previously approved minor use permit that allows that allowed for the phased establishment of an equestrian facility and the construction of associated structures. That project's located at 2958 Templeton Road, approximately 2.5 miles east of the community of Templeton. There's a request for a determination of a general plan conformity for the sale of a property owned by the Cambria Community Services District to the Cambria Historical Society, and that subject property is located at 2284 Center Street in the community of Cambria. And last, there's a tentative track map to subdivide an existing 92-acre parcel into 8 parcels for the purpose of sell and development with residential and mixed uses, and that is located at 10180 Los Osos Valley Road. Regarding training opportunities, there are several commissioners who recently attended the February 17th Regional Planning Commission training. Are there any takeaways that the commissioners who attended would like to share with the rest of the commission and staff? And specifically, is there anything that you got exposure to in that training that you would like staff to provide further training for your commission on in the future? And that concludes staff's update.
Thank you, Exandria. I know we were able to go, and you guys are more experienced than we are, but is there anything that you guys took away that you would like from an information perspective for staff to present or others that you would feel be helpful?
One thing, and I had talked to staff a little bit about this, and I wanted to bring it up maybe later, but the discussion on trying to get more engagement from the public and make it easier for the public to engage with us. And I was thinking if maybe we wanted to discuss at a future meeting, trying to allow people to call in, not leave voicemails, but to call in live, because a lot of other bodies started doing that during COVID, and they're continuing with it. I know the Grover Beach City Council does it. They don't get a ton of call-ins, but we just had a lot of discussion of how difficult it is for people to participate, especially when you're building workforce housing and you want people to participate during the workday. And what I was also struck by is our last meeting, I think it was Dorothy Hines commented, you know, people don't usually show up just to say they like something because it does take half a day. And I thought, well, maybe people would if they could just kind of leave their desk and call or not have to drive and park. So that discussion kind of struck me. That was just something I took away from the day.
I think we had a really good active conversation on the whole idea of ex parte communication and how best to make sure that the public as well as we see the transparency. And so I think it would be good to kind of maybe kind of set some sort of formal guidelines up where this is how we handle communications with applicants as well as with the public to make sure that everybody seems or feels that it's a fair process. Other than that, I told the presenter that he actually made CEQA interesting. It was actually great to have that. I wish I'd been able to do this training 2 years ago. It was very helpful. So.
And Mike, Don, is there anything that, with all your background of experience, that you would add that would be useful?
Yeah, not necessarily along that line, but I'd ask staff to check back on our workplace and our workplace harassment, et cetera. I think because of the COVID thing, we missed out on a couple of our deadlines to go to those seminars. Not that I love to do it, but anyway. So I think we need an upgrade as to whether we're in default there on those items.
Okay, so Exandria, maybe for commission business, we can put together a kind of a list. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
No.
What did you have to add?
Okay.
So if there's a kind of a list of public engagement, discussion, ex parte communication, to ensure that we're up to date as commissioners on our trainings that we need to have. And then I would probably also add, another background update on some of the housing that we've talked about, affordable housing, and EIR, kind of 101 or 102 in terms of understanding those kind of documents. Anything else? All right.
This isn't related to that, but those are all good ideas. I just want to remind you, I won't be here on the 23rd, and it's not because there's a long agenda. It's because and I also want to take an opportunity, and I think all of you will join me in this, in thanking Xandria for her wonderful service to the county and the community over the past several years. This is her last Planning Commission meeting. I think we all know that. Her professionalism, her cool demeanor, and her willingness to take on a workload, which was at times unreasonable, and just keeping the ship running smoothly is remarkable, and we will miss you and wish you the best in what you're doing next.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, and it has been an absolute pleasure to work with all of you. The community is very fortunate and very lucky to have people who are volunteering to spend their time to further the objectives and the community's goals to have the wise use and development of land. And so I really do appreciate all of your service as well.
Thank you, Alexandria. Thank you, Mike. All right, so if there's no other questions or discussion on that point, we'll move to commission business, and I believe there's no items listed. Okay, so we'll move to consent items. Is there anything, we'll approve these as a block, unless a commissioner wants to pull anything, an item for separate consideration? Commissioners, do you want to pull anything? Okay.
Given that, I would like to move that we approve the consent agenda, including item 4.
I'll second.
Please, Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Viacana?
Yes.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
And Chair Simpson-Spearman?
Yes. Thank you. We're going to move on to our first hearing item. Madam Clerk, would you please introduce the item?
Yes. Hearing item number 5 is a hearing to consider a request by Aris Studio Architects for an amendment to revise condition of approval number 4 and subsection D.3, D.5, and E.3 of the uniform sign program of the Los Osos for the Los Osos Shopping Center. County file number amend 2022-0004, Supervisorial District 2. And as a reminder, testimony is limited to 3 minutes, and all participants should conduct themselves with courtesy, dignity, and respect, and please refrain from applauding during testimony. When you come to the podium, please state your name for the record, address your testimony to the chair, and conversation or debate is not permitted.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Commissioners, is there any ex parte that you would wish to disclose?
Other than just going seeing the site, no.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And Alexandria, would you please introduce the project management team for this one?
Yes, so your project manager that will be presenting today will be Kip Morris, and he will be supported by supervising planner Shawnee Siong.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Madam Chair and Planning Commissioners. My name is Kip Morris with County Planning, and I'm the project manager for this project. The item before you is an amendment to Conditional Use Permit and Coastal Development Permit, DRC 2005-90. And this is an amendment to the Uniform Sign Program for the Los Osos Shopping Center. The applicant is requesting revisions to the 2005 Use Permit Conditions of Approval and the Uniform Sign Program. The proposed revisions will allow for greater flexibility in tenant configuration, and the changes will bring into conformity 2 signs for the tenant Dollar Tree, which are currently installed. We will go through each of these 5 items in greater detail later in the presentation. The project site is located on the corner of Los Osos Valley Road and 10th Street within the community of Los Osos. The project is located within the commercial retail land use category. To the north, the parcels are zoned community service. The parcel is otherwise surrounded by commercial retail land use category. The project itself consists of the developed shopping center and associated parking lot. The project site takes access from both Los Osos Valley Road and 10th Street. No physical development other than the signage is proposed as part of the amendment request. We will now go through each of the proposed changes one by one. The applicant is requesting to amend condition of approval number 4 for DRC 2005-90 to read that the overall combined size or number of fascia and roof-mounted signs shall not be increased. So this change removes the reference to the 2005 tenant configuration shown in Exhibit E of the old sign program. And Exhibit E reference is restrictive because it refers to a static and outdated tenant configuration. So this proposed amendment would allow greater flexibility in future tenant configurations for all tenants, but it would not change the overall approved signage area. The applicant is also proposing to change D3 in the uniform signage program to limit major tenants with less than 13,000 square feet of space to a maximum of 80 square feet of sign area on the building. And this is an increase from the previous 66 square feet that was allowed. The applicant is also proposing to amend uniform sign program item D5 to allow tenants with landlord and property management approval to combine signage area into one larger roof mounted sign with a maximum area of 80 square feet. So the amendment to D5 would result in three changes. First, it would allow a tenant between 9,000 and 13,000 square feet to occupy multiple units to combine the total allocated sign area into one larger roof sign with a maximum area of 80 square feet. It would also remove the prohibition on 9,000 square foot tenants to display their logo on the monument signs. And it also removes language referring to the tenant configuration of 2005, which no longer exists today. And so this will provide greater flexibility for future tenants to advertise on monument signs. The applicant is also proposing to amend uniform sign program item E3 to remove reference to the 2005 tenant configurations to allow greater flexibility in the event of future tenant changes. This amendment would not affect the fact that major tenants would still be allowed to represent with their logo on the monument signs. So the amendment requests are primarily tenant driven by the Dollar Tree tenant, which occupies approximately 9,300 square feet, which falls under the category of major tenants with less than 13,000 square feet of space. The applicant is proposing to combine seven existing signs, 140 square feet in total, into one roof-mounted sign of approximately 65 square feet in area. This sign is currently installed as sign A on this graphic here. In addition, the tenant has also installed their logo on the monument sign, sign location B, shown here. Sign A is proposed of LED illuminated polycarbonate lettering on a 2-inch deep aluminum pan background. The sign is in area is 65 square feet, that's the sign copy, with a width of 26 feet and 6 inches and a height of 29.5 inches. The sign faces the Los Osos Valley Road frontage. So as I mentioned, this sign is currently installed. This is a photo I took yesterday. You can see here that actually there's a covering over the sign. So it should be noted that it actually looks, that the copy looks bigger than it will likely appear in its final iteration. But this sign is currently installed. So sign B is the Dollar Tree tenant sign with a on the monument sign, and the sign area is approximately 0.9 square feet with a width of 21 inches and a height of 6 inches, and the sign is located on the existing monument sign on Los Osos Valley Road. And you can see here that it replaced Los Osos Fitness. And here's a photo of that sign yesterday. So this is a bit of an unusual request because both signs driving these amendments already exist and have building permits open that are waiting to be final pending this amendment approval. The applicant is seeking to bring these signs into conformity through this sign program amendment request. Staff finds the requested changes reasonable and they allow for greater flexibility for the future of the entire plaza. Therefore, it is staff's recommendation to approve the request for revisions to condition 4 of the uniform sign program and items D3, D5, and E5 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and conditions listed in Exhibit B. And this concludes staff's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the commissioners for
staff? I have one.
Okay.
seeing kind of what this is all about, and I could anticipate it could, in some cases, be a problem for both the county and the owners of this. So when you get a large firm wanting to lease in a long-term lease, but they want to insist the sign's bigger or whatever, different than what the county wants to allow, is this a problem that you hassled with very often?
No, we do not get amendments to these sign programs very often. So any future tenant that would go in would just have to be in conformance with this sign program. And the amendments here that are proposed today are actually to allow greater flexibility so that they would not need to come back to Planning Commission for future tenant arrangements as often.
I'm glad to hear that. I think that's a good way to handle it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. And then we would like to invite the applicant if they're for their present. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Tom Jess with Aris Studio Architects, and thank you for the opportunity to present this. This is something we really appreciate because this has actually been a fairly long and arduous process for what appeared to be a relatively minor modification request on our part. So this originally started a little over a year ago when Dollar Tree applied for a sign permit and were informed that the sign that they're proposing across the top, which looks just like the Miner's one and the grocery outlet, was not in conformance with the sign program and that the change was significant enough that it wasn't a minor modification that staff could approve. So we had to apply for the amendment to the conditional use permit, which we did, and we presented what was this to the Los Osos Community Advisory Board. They reviewed it. There was no objection. Everything looked fine from them. So it was a fairly smooth process, which is very timely. And the reasons the sign were installed is because Dollar Tree needed to go in, and they wouldn't go in without a sign. I mean, we could have, there were seven signs across the front that we could have made every single one say Dollar Tree. And in fact, we looked at that as an option, but it just looked ridiculous. So the alternative we came up with was to go ahead and install the sign, but then put a tarp over it or something. I mean, it's goofy, but it was kind of necessitated just because of the time frame. And then the other modification, I'm not sure why we needed a modification to put Dollar Tree where it used to say fitness, but regardless, now the flexibility is there. There's no objections. It seems very straightforward. And as soon as we're able to clear this hurdle, hopefully we're able to clear this hurdle today, then they can finalize the building permit and take the tarp off. So happy to answer any questions, but it seems like a pretty straightforward request from our point of view. But like I said, we're happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Commissioners, any questions for the applicant? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll now open it for public comment. Madam Clerk?
No requests to speak have been received.
Great, okay, then I will close public comment since there are no requests to speak. And I'll leave it to the commissioners for deliberations.
Madam Chair, I would agree this is pretty straightforward. There are other signs that are bigger, I think, on some of the other tenant spaces that are also on the fascia. And so I think the only lesson to be taken from this is that when we as a commission put together a sign program, and it's appropriate to do that from time to time, is that we build in enough flexibility to take into account changing circumstances and give the discretion to staff when it's really not a big deal, and then reserve coming back to us when it's controversial or where it's significantly different. But if everybody's in agreement with that, I'd move the staff recommendation. Let me get the wording correct here.
Mike, before you do that,
I'm just
add something because I want to follow up on what you said. I think that as a staff and maybe Danielle or Alexandria, we could capture that note that Mike put in terms of the amendment so it isn't so timely in terms of getting to this end state, even though it's a requirement. So if we could find a way to have a little bit more flexibility so there might be an easier way if it's to do it, I think that would be a great lesson learned takeaway. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, so I would move staff's recommendation, and I'm not sure if I get the wording right, how much I need to say.
Could you push it back on the screen for Mike, please? Would that help, Mike?
Probably.
Okay.
Okay. Is this, I would move the request to revisions of approval number 4, uniform sign program items D3, D5, and E5, based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions in Exhibit B.
And finding that the project is exempt under CEQA?
Oh, yeah, and it is a categorical exemption.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Second.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, would you call roll vote?
Sure. Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Viacana?
Yes.
And Chair Simpson-Spearman?
Yes. Thank you, staff. Thank you, applicant. All right. Thank you. Thank you, JR. And so we'll now entertain a motion to take all the testimony and correspondence into record, please.
So moved.
Second.
And I'll call for a voice vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And then I will entertain a motion to adjourn to our next regularly scheduled meeting of March 23rd.
So moved.
Second.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned.